And now it's time for the Cannabis Report here on KGNU Community Radio. I'm Hanalei Myers, and we've been doing our best here at KGNU over the last couple weeks and months to keep you abreast with some of the cannabis and plant medicine initiatives that have been going on in Colorado and around the country. And here to fill us in on how some of that went now that we are after voting day, we have Leland Rucker, longtime cannabis correspondent. Leland, thank you so much for being here.
Well, it's always good to be here, you know, and 10 years after voters in the state of Colorado voted to allow adults to purchase and use cannabis, two more states, voters said exactly the same thing, but three others voted against it. Three other states voted against having legal marijuana for adults. And marijuana became legal in the state of Maryland, and it became legal in the state of Missouri, which, that's a state I grew up in, a place where I never thought there would ever be legal cannabis. And I'm told right now, I read a story that they're getting ready to start selling in February. They're obviously
ready to go.
Obviously they are. You know, South Dakota voted to legalize marijuana 2 years ago in 2020. But the state Supreme Court said that the measure's wording violated state law, so it negated that. And on Tuesday, 53% of voters rejected a new ballot initiative. And that was approved by Kristi Noem, the governor there, has been very anti-marijuana. And this shows her power there. And in North Dakota, 55% of people rejected marijuana legalization. So I think this is important because now people are weighing these initiatives perhaps more than ever. At the beginning, it was more, let's just get this legal no matter what happens. And, you know, like in Colorado, we had to make a lot of changes. We had to make changes over the years, and we will continue to make those changes. Just for another look, five Texas cities passed local ballot measures to reduce or eliminate penalties for low-level weed possession. This is in Texas. Voters in San Marcos, Denton, Elgin, Killeen, and Harker Heights approved propositions that end arrests for possession of less than 4 ounces of marijuana. And Austin passed a similar measure earlier this year. And so, like everything about this midterm election, it means that though cannabis is popular and, you know, all the polls say that 60 to 70% of Americans want it to be legal, we're still looking at it, you know, and I think that's important.
Well, you said it on the segment before that there was never the expectation that everyone was going to use cannabis, or it was never going to be for everyone. So it stands to reason that communities and maybe even states can make the same decision.
Yeah, you know, there was no red wave and there was no green wave this time around. There has been before, but there isn't now. And I think that's because people are thinking about it a little bit more.
Totally fair.
And I think that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
You know, Colorado voters narrowly passed the decriminalization of psilocybin and other plant-based psychedelics. And now the state has to come up with rules and regulations to govern that. And we'll continue to watch that. This is going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. I'm sure that we'll be looking to Oregon, which, you know, completely decriminalized psychedelics and is working on plans for the state to implement that. And the PsyCon conference, intended for both entrepreneurs and consumers, will take place at the Colorado Convention Center in downtown Denver in September. So in just less than a year, we're already getting a psychedelics convention here. So, you know, Colorado continues to stay in the battles here. Voters in Colorado Springs, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, they voted against allowing recreational sales. But other cities in Colorado voted for it. So, you know, voters are mixed here too as well. You know, even though it's been legal here in Colorado, it's up to cities and counties whether they want to, you know, participate in that. But in Palmer Lake, which is nearby Colorado Springs, voters approved an ordinance that will allow up to 2 already existing medical marijuana establishments to offer recreational sales. Cripple Creek, an old mining town near the base of Pikes Peak west of Colorado Springs, known for its casinos these days. It had a ballot question proposed allowing marijuana facilities there, and it was approved by almost 15 percentage points, according to the unofficial results. and an accompanying measure proposing excise and sales taxes on both medical and recreational marijuana is very close. And if the tax measure doesn't pass, then no pot businesses can enter Cripple Creek. That's according to the language of the ballot measure. And just another thing, you know, one of those little things that are different in every county and in every state. In Jefferson County, a ballot question which would have opened unincorporated Jefferson County up to commercial marijuana production as well as medical and recreational pot sales, currently losing by more than 18,000 votes, so they consider that kind of a loss. In Nederland, up here at the end of Colorado 119, the town's four recreational dispensaries will soon have to charge higher sales taxes because voters approved a measure up there that will increase recreational pot sales taxes by 5%. And in Hotchkiss, a little town of fewer than 10,000 people in Delta County, proposal to allow medical and recreational pot sales was leading by a 15% margin, but proposals in Sugar City and Dove Creeks were turned down by voters. So, and it's too close to call for Grand Lake. So that continues to happen. Some cities are opting in, other cities are not. And I guess I should mention that Wanda James, owner of a dispensary, one of the very first owners and the first Black owner of a dispensary in Denver, and a longtime figure on the marijuana scene in Denver and in Boulder, she won a seat on the CU Board of Regents. I've seen her talk about her history at CU, and she really makes students sit up and listen. I can only imagine what she's going to do as a CU Board of Regents. So first time a cannabis dispensary operator has won a state seat. And finally, Brandon Coates, who was an advocate for employees' rights to use medical marijuana, passed away just a couple of weeks ago. He gained national attention in 2010, you might remember, when he was fired by Dish Network over a failed drug test. And since he was never accused of being impaired on the job, he had scored high on his work evaluation reports, he appealed his termination, and he kind of went on to become a face of workers' rights in Colorado and everywhere else during a 5-year court battle. That all happened before legalization in Colorado, and though some employers have eased up, others are still testing for cannabis. You know, it's getting a lot harder here in Colorado because, you know, everybody's tried it at least. Not everybody's going to use it, but some companies continue to use that as some sort of a way to weed out people. I don't know.
Certainly more difficult as time passes to use that method. Well, Leland, thank you so much for keeping us in the loop here and very much for letting us know what certainly doesn't seem like a green wave, like you said, but mixed results when it comes to cannabis and other plant medicines across the state and across the country. But we appreciate you keeping us in the loop there. And it seems like Colorado voters decided to keep us doing the show. Clearly, there's going to be a lot more to talk about over the next months and years as we try to make these initiatives a reality here in the state. So
we'll see what happens.
Thank you for your help with that. And you can find the Cannabis Report on KGNU the first and third Thursday of every month. For KGNU, I'm Hanley Myers.